go. Boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, welcome on in to the Turning Point Podcast for LeGrand School District. I'm your host, Brett Smith. I'm sitting here flanked by some really good-looking bearded gentlemen. Scott Carpenter, our assistant superintendent. Jess Roberts, math teacher extraordinaire. Jeff Roberts, IT extraordinaire. Good stuff. Welcome, gentlemen. How y'all doing today?
Good.
Fantastic.
We're here. We're doing it. Mr. Carpenter, how's your day today, man?
You know, it was just magical. Rolled through some different schools, different scenarios. Got to work on some reports that we do for Office of Civil Rights. So it was just awesome. You know, it doesn't get better than that.
Reports, always a good time. Always a good time. Good deal. Well, anything new and happening?
You know, I'm sitting here just impressed with your mustache, first off.
That's right.
And number two, I saw your video yesterday about March Madness and this collaboration between the three elementaries and like identifying classes. I was really excited about that. I hope the kids are getting excited about that and that you're going to see a good impact. What was sort of the process to pick classes? Did the principals agree on those?
You know, I kind of just did it.
Yeah.
We do a kind of a monthly attendance focus competition. We tried to do it. My claim to fame on the March Madness is actually we did this at the high school for the first time 7 years ago when I was there, right as COVID was hitting Union County.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. So it was like we started it and then it like basically crashed the earth there in March of 2020. So crashed and burned then. I guess it's 5 years ago now. But anyway, so yeah, we have done it at Island City last few years. We've only got 12 classes. There's only so many configurations to do it. I asked principals, hey, you want to do this? They were like, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And so I just kind of ran with it. I counted up. There's 47 classes or special programs in elementary school. And so I threw the staff together for a 48th team. So we had a round number in our bracket. And then, yeah, I just tried to match up. I didn't want classrooms to be at an extreme disadvantage right off the bat.
Yeah.
Right. So I matched up, like, kindergartens are traditionally our lowest attenders, that combined with our special programs.
Yeah.
And so I put them so that they were like, hey, like where it's competitive.
Some parity. Yeah.
Parity. And then we put first and second graders together. And then from there we had kind of a mixed bag. I put Island City second grade in with some third and fourth grade.
Yeah.
Just to be like, hey, just how the numbers worked out. And then we did a fourth and fifth grade bracket with the staff involved there.
Now, in some cases, it wouldn't be a loser's bracket in this case, but it would be like,
yeah, we've got a consolation roll.
Consolation roll. Mm-hmm. So that, because I loved your idea of the 2-day burst to be able to do it. So it keeps the energy going.
We're trying to extend this over time. So if a class, you know, quote unquote, loses after 2 days, they're not out.
Yeah.
Right. So everybody's going to get a week or so out of this, you know, here in March. And then there'll be a few classes that are dogfighting it out to the end. And we'll see how it goes. But yeah, we're just doing straight percentage. If the kid shows up at all during that day, we're going to keep it simple. And anyway, they know they came. And so we're doing having fun with the kids. Got a promo video out there. Tried to get them excited about it. Had a bunch of kids today. I saw your video.
Now, you had two different descriptions of the trophy. One was a big trophy. One was a small trophy. Like, is this trophy, 3 feet tall?
You know,
what is this trophy?
I have found it. People helping people, they have 4 foot, 5 foot trophies you can get for nothing. So we actually made another tennis trophy. Central and us are battling too month to month. And I've got a trophy about 4 foot tall that we exchange hands and get in the assemblies and do stuff with. I took them apart and took all the cheerleader stuff off it and all those things and put on some other stuff. So just trying to make it fun.
There you
make
go.
It fun for the kids.
Do you think since you're a math teacher, you know what basketball is, right?
I've heard of it.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, that's the real tricky part. But it's like, what's March Madness? So we try to throw a little basketball in the video, you know. So
wrestling does the same thing in a bracket.
Right.
So
bracket. True. So all kinds of stuff. So yeah, anyway, we got that going on. Mustache, you know, I've stayed the night at the school this year. I've got a little 5-day mustache going on because we've got Dr. Seuss Week, Lorax Day. Should have seen the kids today wearing their mustaches. I saw full Lorax outfits. Like, I mean, huge mustaches around Island City today. It was pretty good.
Just for everyone out there, Brett is an avid outdoorsman. And so if someone's going to advocate for the trees, it's Brett. That's his favorite place to be.
There you go. Amen. Amen to that. Well, let's enough about that. Let's dive in here. We've got Jeff and Jess Roberts here. They work in our school district and do a variety of things and have very unique stories in education. And so we wanted to chat with them today and talk about, you know, what got them to where they're at. And so I'm going to start on my right here with Jeff and be like, or Jess, sorry. I'm going to get that confused probably about four times a day. Tell us your story. I mean, how'd you get here? What'd you do before education? Because I think you had a career or two before.
Like a career or two.
Remember, this is about a 25-minute
podcast.
Yeah,
we're right. Yeah. So this is like the
I'll start quick, more recent.
Quick version.
So education for me is an interesting path. Jeff and I worked together for many years in technology, and that's been my background. Went to college for as an engineer, got into PCs, did that for a lot of years. I joined education, ironically, as a school board member. My sister worked for the ESD, and she needed, as the ESD was challenged finding people interested in being on the board, she asked me if I would, and I didn't know better. So I ran and was elected, and this is the time where my kids were in school. My wife was a travel agent, and I worked for myself. So our involvement with education was basically just having gone, and I did graduate, and then my kids were in school. So then I realized, well, there's a lot more to education relative to the business side of it, and then life takes you certain places, and I wanted to pick a career where I looked down the road towards retirement and thought to myself, well, what do I like doing? And Jeff and I always had education as part of our business, teaching different things, different parts of our lives. So I knew I liked to teach. I liked that interaction, and I liked kids. So I went back intentionally changing careers to become a teacher. And I knew if I joined the teaching force, there were two jobs I could get, teaching math and teaching special ed. Those were the two jobs that are just at the time, and probably even still now, are guaranteed positions open. I didn't have to be a great teacher to get hired, so that was in my benefit. So I went back, got my math degree.
I don't know about that.
And then I got my master's degree. Wanted, always knew that I wanted to teach in my own high school, which was LeGrand. Jeff and I graduated from LeGrand Tigers. My kids are Tigers. My wife's a Tiger. We are Tigers.
There we go.
And I knew that that was something that mattered to me. Made it to LeGrand on my second year of teaching, and have been here since. Plan to stay here until I die at my desk, and the kids will tell somebody eventually.
Yeah. Right. Send someone to the office.
Yeah, yeah. It's going to be two, 3 days down the road, probably. Yeah. But I have a passion. We were talking earlier about teaching being a calling, and I truly believe that's true. I really feel it's part of who I am now, even though it's not something I've done all along. I teach at my church. I teach in the classroom. I tell my wife what I think is right. So I tend to just be a teacher, just probably part of my personality now. Maybe it always was. I don't know. But I really enjoy it. They still enjoy every day hanging out with kids. It's the best part of my job. Math is what I deliver to them. But my happiness, my joy comes from interacting with them and helping them understand life, understand math, enjoy life, that kind of thing. So that's my motivation. I'll keep doing it for a while.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I've sat in some math classes with you, and it, I would agree the topic of the class is math, and the kids are getting math, but they're also, I think, getting a lot more than that in your classroom. And so I haven't been in there in a while, but I would imagine it looks the same as it was. And it's a good place to be, one that a lot of kids want to be in. So yeah, I would say that. Yeah.
Jeff, what about you? What was your path?
My path, of course, we grew up here, and I graduated high school, and I actually went to Arizona for college and wanted to be an architect. And by the time I graduated, I already owned a company that repaired computers. So that was, I kind of leapfrogged out of that architecture. And then I had a company in Arizona with some partners that we had 110 school districts under contract. So somewhat like an ESD, but statewide. And in the 80s and the early 90s, the business of schools and computers was obviously emerging very quickly, but it was, let's put 15 computers in a lab, you know, compared to now where, you know, everything is everything technology-wise. So Jess and I had a partnership, and we had a business here for a lot of years, and then he actually called me and said, hey, we need someone. And I thought, initially, I think he'd be honest with me, I said, well, I can't do that. I mean, but what was interesting about it is we were getting to an age where being a self-employed, you know, retirement is something that you kind of think about. But I thought about that and still have enough years where, you know, I can change career but still stay in the same thing. So I decided to do it. And what was interesting about it is I started right before COVID. And for me, I think that's made me feel like this was the home because I had skills coming in that we needed.
Yeah.
And this was something that was safe because I'd lost my business during COVID regardless, right? I mean, that was the reality. So it was interesting how God kind of does that. And I do believe that. I mean, you get placed where you're supposed to be.
Yeah.
And although I'm not a teacher, you know, but it's a, this is a wonderful, I look at it as a team. You can't teach without me. I mean, that's just
true.
The truth. And you all need to, that's something everybody should. Mm-hmm. Because kids now look at school from the technology lens. And it's amazing to me now, it is just part of the fabric that, I don't, you know, is that easier or harder? But it certainly is the fabric that we live in now.
100%.
So it's an, and to me, I call myself simple. I don't know that I am, but I love to take things that don't work and make them work. So my entire philosophy, I kind of think of myself as, you know, just a mechanic. I make it work, and whether it's a policy, procedure, or piece of equipment, that's really how I look at the lens of this.
The first, and maybe my memory's off just because there's so many coming, you know, anymore, but, like, you entered right before COVID.
I did.
Our first, like, major purchase going into COVID was, I think it was the mountain of Chromebooks.
1,000 Chromebooks.
And that's how you earned your first stripe in education, is like, we have to get these processed now.
Yeah, I didn't like
and the mountain just came back because grant funds kept coming.
It did. Yeah, it did. Yeah, but it was a glorious time because, really, thank goodness, if that wasn't possible, we would, you know, when we look at COVID, a lot of people ask me, because school districts were challenged with COVID, whether they could do the job or how they attempted the job. And I've been asked that quite a bit from a lot of folks, and we really guessed well. And that really comes down to all those meetings where, you know, we were sitting in those meetings trying to come up with a way for it to work, and then we'd get done with the meeting and we'd come out and they were immediately told that, you know, the governor changed what we were, you know, so we'd go right back in the meeting.
Yep.
And I always thought that was such a challenge for that. No, first 4 or 5 months. It was really something to live through.
Yeah,
really
March to August that first year was
that was crazy. Wild West. And of course, I was just brand new, so I'm like, "Whoa, this was, you know." Although thankful and challenging, it was like, "Wow, this is going to be what is going to happen?" And I think probably everybody thought that at the time. What is this even going to be?
Yeah,
but I think we got super lucky, and I think we came out of it with really pretty strong pathways to.
I'd
to
agree.
The future. I mean, I really think we guessed good.
I would agree with that. Yeah. I like what you said there, too, about just the interconnectedness of different departments, right? Teachers and IT on, you know, students, you know, custodial, the food service.
Every single employee and every single staff member, without all of it.
No.
I truly, I can't say that loud enough because we are a team.
Yeah, no, 100%. Yeah. And I think that, like, a lot of the folks, like, in your position at times, whether it be IT or food service or custodial or, you know, managerial or, you know, get lost a little bit in that shuffle where
you
you
can feel, I kind of call it you're in the background, but that doesn't mean that you're not as vital.
Boy.
You know, you have to get used to that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's a lot of it's okay being invisible and really, really good at what you do.
Yeah, I'd agree.
Because a lot of people in this world, that's exactly what we all are.
Yeah.
It doesn't work without us, but you don't know we're doing it.
Yeah.
I don't give Jeff a lot of compliments here, but being the guy that suggested he take the job right before COVID, I want to make clear that I don't think I would have made it through that transition without a strong tech team. There were daily changes.
Yeah, it was challenging.
And your experience and your, maybe I'll even say your inexperience within education, the practicality that you brought from the street into an arena that was ever-changing really did make a difference.
I think it's healthy for, I'll use the broader term of government work, to see what commercial work is and the differences between them. I think there's an important blending that, you know, you do both differently, maybe, but it doesn't. You don't have to. You know, it certainly doesn't have to be that way.
Good deal. Well, we've talked about a lot of different things. We always highlight in here, you know, positive moments, right? There's a lot of hard moments, but anything stands out to you, math teacher extraordinaire, or on your path in education, Jess, that was like, hey, man, that was an awesome experience. This is why I'm here. This is why I'm doing what I'm doing, right?
Well, there are so many, but I think back to, and I'm going to go back a ways here, and it's even a program that may not really even exist functionally in this district anymore because it was a timed thing. When I first started at the high school, I was asked to teach a non-high school class. So for students, it was really a non-high school credit class for students that needed to get ready for math to get credit the next year. And it was part of an alternative program, and it was a big class. And one of my family members was a student as well as I was a new teacher. And that cohort of kids, probably 20 strong, 15, may not have felt that they fit into the box of education naturally, but coming together as a team, and my memory says that they all graduated. I may not be quite right, but kids who I get them as freshman, sophomore that make it to senior and graduate is one of those things that you're always worried about for kids that don't fit in the box that is education, and to see that, you know, success. And I see those kids now today, and they're functional adults, and that's something that, what small part I was involved with it, those are fond memories. They still happen. I have more students now, so it's a little tougher to make all of the independent connections that I did in a very small class back then, but I still try because those are, That's a value that or a reward that I think was important to me and hopefully to them as well.
Awesome. Jeff, how about you? Any highlights or moments that stick out is like, yeah, this is what I'm here. It's what I'm doing.
Yeah, I think we kind of touched on it just earlier. Just the COVID world was such a it was so fast. I can't believe I've been here for 5 years. I mean, it does not feel like it, and I imagine a lot of people say the time goes by pretty quick, but I really think, other than the challenge, which I don't see as a negative at all, I kind of like everything. It doesn't mean you don't get frustrated. I stomp my tiny feet around and go, we could do better with a lot of things, but we've got a really good team, and we got a team of compassionate, hard, you know, meaning, they care about the kids. It's just, again, coming from the Phoenix area, where I, you know, you got schools with 2,500 students, and that gets lost. We're big enough to accomplish things here, obviously, but we're also small enough where you can kind of still feel like everybody's one team, and that's a really big thing to me. I mean, I just think that you don't succeed if you look at anything, you know, outside of the teamwork, whether it be family or work or.
Yeah,
what you do outside, you know, your hobbies, still kind of a team guy. So
that's awesome.
Yeah,
one of the things we always talk about too is what you're excited about in the future, like what, you know, what the future holds. You know, looking in the future of IT or math or instruction or for you personally, what are you Jess, what are you looking forward to here in the future?
Well, on a personal note, I'm just about to finish my doctorate. I'm looking forward to having that behind me.
Dr. Roberts.
I'm not going to call him that.
No, and I'm not sure I would allow you to anyway. But it was something I started, professional goal I have, and I'm nearing the end of it, mm-hmm. thinking 100 times I wouldn't get there. So that I'm excited about. I'm excited about
that being behind me, so
my wife and I can have a little more freedom, and she's not tied to it because I'm tied to it. So that chapter is exciting.
It is.
But it's not something that I did for a professional goal other than a personal goal. Both of my daughters were entering doctorate programs at the time, and for some illogical reason, I said, well, we'll all do it. And
yeah.
One did, one didn't, and I'm in the middle there. And everything still worked out. They both have their dream jobs. Mm-hmm. COVID caused some things to change. For me, it was maybe I should have done it when I was a little younger, little more life to capitalize on it. But the nature of that, and I think what I look forward to, is my research is on social-emotional learning, which is timely, it's impactful, it's important. Can't talk too much about it yet until it's published, and you can, I'll send you a link to buy the book. But the reality is
I'm down.
It's something that I use in my personal life. I use, and it comes down to me, much like teaching, as you mentioned, mm-hmm. my classroom is a relational space. Not everybody loves me, but I try to make everybody at least, you know, comfortable to be mm-hmm. there. And my own studies support that, and this district supports it, and my students support it, my wife supports it. So I'm looking forward to that. You know, where I go professionally, if I stay in the math class till I am done teaching, I'm fine with that too. I really enjoy what I do. Love the high school, love that age group. If it leads to something a little broader or different, that's fine too. I mean, that'll be based on whatever my wife and I enjoy. You know, we're at a point now where we're not as tied to LeGrand as we could be, but I have no desire to leave. So that doctorate, a lot of people, oh, you're doing that to move on. It's not at all. Matter of fact, it was never my motivation. And that I may not even tell anybody when I do it, you know, when I'm done, just simply
cause I'll tell everybody. So
we'll get a sign.
Maybe all staff email.
Maybe I won't tell Jeff.
We'll get a placard above his door.
Well, what's funny about my door, the sign on my door, my first sign on my door was in pencil when I first joined LeGrand. Mm-hmm. I still have that sign. It's behind my desk now, so I'm not going to go get a new sign.
Yeah.
I like the one written in pencil myself.
There you go. So, good deal. Well, future IT and education. Well, anything you're excited about?
You know, I haven't really thought about that because it kind of just seems like it envelops mm-hmm. every direction now. Mm-hmm. Maybe it'd be easier to maintain some of the numbers mm-hmm. that we do. It always amazes me when I try to count how many things we keep alive. It's a lot of stuff.
It's amazing to me.
It's really a lot of stuff. So
the spread between maybe older switches or servers or whatever.
I know.
And then we have conversations about AI.
Right.
Like the district really has this, like, no, I think it was a couple of years ago we got rid of red telephones in schools with the.
Yeah, just trying to keep, you know, you look at a 30-year-old printer, we still keep it alive with something we got today, you know.
Yeah.
So technology makes that possible. I always worry about the funding of it because it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger.
And that's
a challenge to keep ahead of. But again, we I think administration, you know, we spend a lot of time trying to make those decisions right. And what's lovely is I may not even be my role to be involved in that a lot, but I'm invited and I get to enjoy that. So that's important to me too. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, Scott, you mentioned AI. I'm in training last week, and in one session, we've got teachers learning how to use AI to make their job easier. Mm-hmm. Across the hall, we have another session, how to catch kids using AI.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's an irony, but it leans towards what you're talking about, right. the scale and the nature of education.
Yeah, I think when I hear AI, I have a completely different thought pattern of someone else saying AI because it terrifies me.
Yeah.
But yet it's exciting. Mm-hmm. I mean, like all technology starts out, right?
Well, it's amazing. It's
going to be hard to. It's going to be hard to manage that.
Yeah.
In the real world, but it always has been.
This curve of learning in our era, in terms of internet,
kids,
email, Google,
well,
all of that, to AI and being able to talk about critical thinking versus creation of content.
Sure. And to me, I mean, I don't think I accomplished anything in my life that I would say that was spectacular from the lens of I'm going to create something someone else can look at.
Yeah.
You know, we kind of all stumble into our successes or, you know, failures. And I don't think we can look at it from, you know, I try not to say is it good or bad, because I, you know, how do you, both. It's successfully both.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And I know.
Technology is a tool.
Yeah.
Like a car.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
It can be used all different kind of ways.
Yeah.
Good deal. Okay. Good stuff. Well, Mr. Carpenter, we're doing our time thing here. This has been awesome. Any acronym popping in your head that we always end with, and then we end with some final thoughts?
Well, before we get into that, I do want, we invited Jeff and Jess here, and I'm going to take a personal aside. I get an opportunity once a month to see them as human beings outside the district. I get that in different ways, but we compete 9mm shooting, and it has been fun to bring my daughter to that. It has been fun to listen to the banter between Jeff and Jess and sort of see them in a different venue, to be able to enjoy that together. So, and hear their stories and meet their brother and all those things, hear stories about family. We have great human beings in our district, and that's both in the classroom and out of the classroom. And they sort of, for me, example, you know, I never knew Jeff was if I remember this right, you still have the number one time on a certain stage in competitive shooting. Is that correct? Still
maybe
the world record?
Yeah, I don't know.
You're still a world record holder. Yeah. Like, you roam the district and like, I want to get you a shirt that says authentic world record holder. Oh. And then, you know, Jess just, you know, goes out and gets a sweet gun that we all like mock him for, and has his own accolades and rewards. But I just think that's always an interesting part, and a reason for this podcast is doing great things for kids day in and day out on our own time and during our professional time. But we have great human beings in this district. The acronym, Jeff mentioned it earlier, SEL, social emotional learning. At the core of social emotional learning is really just recognizing that our kids are human beings. Mm-hmm. That in a bygone age, it was about sit down, learn your math facts, or learn how to write this paper, or learn a rote procedure. And that in today's educational environment, it has to be about the human being, that there's a lot of work to be done to create good humans, and to acknowledge that as a function or deep part of what we do as educators. And that it's not about indoctrination, it's about creating good humans that can engage with one another in a very meaningful way, and be able to operate in a world with AI or different things where they're going to have to make critical decisions about how they use information, and what's important or what's of value, because it'll come so quickly and so easily.
Right.
So we need good humans in that type of world. And I appreciate so many of our teachers and our classified staff or others that focus on kids being good humans.
Yeah.
Well, we don't want to lose sight of the fact that we benefit from that. It's our own kids who we're creating to be good humans. They're in our community, and eventually they're the ones that will be supporting us and making our world what it is. So.
Yep.
I agree with you that it takes the community, as Jeff mentions, from every aspect of it, but it also it does take us to stop and recognize each other for the individuals that we are, mm-hmm. and where our passions lie and where our skills lie, as well as where our fears lie to a degree. So, yeah, that's a big part of why I do what we do.
Yeah, a lot of good thoughts, a lot of good things here. I think we could go on for a long time. One of the thoughts I had here is just like, I think highlighting that, you know, schools are a foundational piece of the community, of what we're trying to do here. and highlighting that here on this podcast, just the people that are here, the work that's being done and the work that's being put in to make LeGrand a great place, as well as produce top-notch individuals.
To that point, a last shout out to the wrestling program. Second, first place finish for the girls, third place finish for the boys, and to those people that participated in the musical and then so many other things. Yeah. We have kids all over our district doing fantastic things.
Yeah. Got basketball still playing, got all kinds of things happening. So a lot of good, a lot of coaches, a lot of people out there putting in a lot of time with some kids. So with that, we'll sign out. Appreciate you guys for being here. Guys. Thanks, guys. For inviting us. Yeah.